Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Richard Epstein, a senior fellow of the Hoover Institution, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. We're as up to date as the word colorblind. Professor, I note that that is a concern, a frequently stated concern of both sides or all sides. There are more than two here, more sides about the ambitions and the needs. I note that Justice John Harlan used it in the Plessy decision. In the early part of the 20th century, the quote I wrote down, our Constitution is colorblind and neither knows nor tolerates classes among citizens. That was a dissenting position then. It is now a decision by the Supreme Court here in the 21st century. You're evidencing that there is objection to that. On the basis of what in the Constitution objects to colorblindness? I don't understand how it is being used exactly the opposite to way John Harlan used it to dissent from Plessy.
Well, John Harlan wrote a very stirring dissent in an effort to rid this nation of systematic forms of segregation in which powerful groups imposed their will on those who were not allowed to participate inside the political process and essentially created a terrible system which lasted for all too long. The system started to dismantle itself a little bit in the Wilson years on a couple of cases, and then it continued to speed up through the 1940s and 50s. And it was always colorblind because the evils you were trying to deal with were handled by a colorblind solution. What people are worried about now is not formal exclusion, which is easy to handle. They're worried about underrepresentation of groups, minority groups, and key kinds of industries, which they say will systematically degrade their influence. Well, then the question is, you just can't sort of create an equal percentage of white and black in, you know, PhDs in mathematics. There are certain quality standards that you have to meet. So one of the real ironies in this business is that the single most progressive decision under the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was a case called Griggs against Duke Power Company in 1971, in which essentially Chief Justice Burger rewrote the statute so as to make sure that disparate impact would allow you to give remedies to those groups who were excluded. And this was thought to be a great emancipation, a great advantage for black people, because what it did is it meant that you could increase their numbers. But people forget what the limitations of Duke Power were, and this is now a conservative decision. Duke Power said, in order to do this, you have to get a group of people who are in the comparable class, a base class of people who could qualify for jobs. And if you're trying to talk about working at the bottom of a factory in a janitorial position, it's a very broad class of individuals. Talking about university professors and the scientists, it's rather different. What's happened to diversity now is it's said to be a sign of conclusive discrimination if the percentage of people in any particular subsector of the economy is not equal to the percentage of that protected group in the economy at large. Well, we have very few black mathematicians today, and the issues were, how can you possibly get people to teach at a graduate level if they can't pass the undergraduate curriculum? There's just no effective way in which to answer that stuff. And so what you do is you have this constant situation where you're demanding more and more. You can't get it, but you could always yell discrimination against somebody. And then somebody says, well, you look at the boards and grades, they matter. Well, now we're told it's holistic and they don't matter. But if you're talking about whether or not people could work in advanced sciences with quantitative schools, just doing very well on the law college boards and mathematics is a necessary but not a sufficient condition. I like to describe myself, and I don't mean this facetiously, as quote unquote the best of the rest. Meaning I was really quite good at math. I was probably in the top 1% of the country. Now, that's utterly useless when it comes to really creative work in the field. You have to be in the top 0.01 or 0.001%. And so the best of the rest can understand what these guys can produce, but they can't produce it themselves. And the constant argument is, you basically have to get this done. It is never, show me the candidate who's been turned down with the skills in mathematics requisite for doing a PhD level, And it turns out you can't find these people. So what you do is you get this constant sense of accusing. We're perpetually discriminating because we use the wrong test. We don't ask about the eligibility requirements. We do not ask about whether they come from broken families, criminal records, and all the rest of that stuff. And so we now have pushed ourselves into the American position, as far as the left is concerned, that any disparity that we see which goes against a protected group is always a function of discrimination. There's no other cause or explanation for it.
I want to leave room for the 25 years question.
Yes.
Gruen versus Bollinger in 2003. We have a few minutes. 25 years was introduced as a metric. That would be 2028. Why 25 years? And isn't that predicting that the present decision would happen within that 25 years?
I don't know exactly where she got the numbers, but I do know Sandra Day O'Connor was a Republican legislator, if you remember. And she was a very skilled legislator. And she essentially listened to interest groups that were conservative. And that included not the CEOs of 2023, but the CEOs of 2002. And it included all the military leaders. And these were conservative people. And they said, we cannot run our businesses unless we can make sure that people work well together. Now, the definition of diversity that's common for these purposes is people may have all sorts of different ranks, and it may be that your doctors are one racial group and it turns out your nurses and orderlies are another. But diversity means that you have to get people from different racial groups and different job classifications to work well with one another, or your business is toast. So everybody is in favor of diversity in that sense, taking a group of individuals with skills and melding them into a convincing workplace. But the other definition of diversity, of equal representation at all levels of the hierarchy, she thought that time would cure that. Anybody who looked at the statistics at that time would know that it was wrong. I was in charge of admission programs at the University of Southern California in 1968, 1969, and the gaps were so large, and they remain so large, over the from 1969 to 2003, right? So you're talking 34 years. They haven't moved at all. There are complicated explanations for why this happened. But what happens is the eligibility pool for the cognitive positions like academics tends to be one that is very, very skewed. She thought it would change, and it didn't change.
But did 20,
and there was no way that it was going
to change. Did 25 years build in this decision that we just heard? We have about a minute.
What these guys are saying, enough is enough. We've gone 20, no movements made. The idea that somehow in the world we could use a racially conscious project to produce racially neutral results is not going to work. And that's the famous line that Justice Roberts gave in the Seattle school case, is the only way to end discrimination is to end discrimination. The American left says we have to put everybody on life support to do it. The correct position is probably somewhere in between. And my basic reaction to all nine Supreme Court judges, none of them have ever run any kind of business whatsoever. And what's needed are management skills, not legal skills, to handle this problem.
Professor Richard Epstein generously commenting within the first hours of the Supreme Court decision, ending, rejecting, refusing, overriding affirmative action. There are many verbs here. English is a plastic language. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batten.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.